The time is now. Volume 2, Episode 25. I hope you had a great holiday and a terrific new year. Happy 2018. This is our second year of this Employment Law Now podcast, and I am still your host, Mike Schmidt, Vice Chair of the Labor and Employment Department at Cozen O'Connor. Thank you for coming back to listen. I hope you enjoyed us and got something out of our first year. I promise to give it my best shot to give you some informative, useful, and hopefully occasionally entertaining information from the labor and employment world for another year. And what a crazy end to 2017 it was, right? Just in that 11th hour in December, right before New Year's, we had wholesale changes with the NLRB reversing course like it did. Jacksonville and Buffalo making the NFL playoffs. Snow in Florida and Georgia.
Oh, you have got to be kidding me.
Again, crazy end to the 2017 year. Little bit of a crazy beginning to 2018, but that's what keeps this all fun and has us all enjoying talking about this employment law stuff. You know, New Year's Eve is obviously well known for the big ball dropping, but here at Employment Law Now, we are all about talking about the things that help your company avoid dropping the ball. See what I did there? So, today, for this first episode of 2018, I am presenting my top 10 New Year's resolutions for your company to avoid dropping the ball in 2018. So let's go.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, number one resolution for your company in 2018, understand that the government agencies are going to be changing policy and actions starting right now, even though it might take some time. So the EEOC, for example, on the federal level, they're moving forward. The current commissioner, Jenny Yang, who is a Democrat, stepped down on January 3rd, and thus the EEOC is down a Democrat now, with Trump's two nominees pending confirmation that would give the EEOC a Republican majority. Even with that, the EEOC is still likely to pursue their agenda, which has a strong focus on systemic discrimination, but you may start to see a shift in priorities with a Republican majority. Similarly, you have the NLRB as another agency that is shifting course. We talked about this a lot in December. Big changes from its precedent in the areas of joint employment, the election rules, relaxing handbook standards, and other new initiatives from this Republican board that is clearly looking to roll back Obama-era decisions and initiatives. We got the United States Department of Labor. I mean, what's happening with overtime and the overtime exemptions? We'll get more on that later. And some other of the pro-employee initiatives. You're going to have to keep a real eye out on the Department of Labor because there's going to be some changes happening. They just retreated this past week on the intern test, right? That's the kind of thing you were hearing a lot about, reading a lot about. We've seen a lot of litigation over the past few years on that. Well, the U.S. Department of Labor just retreated a bit on the intern test, getting rid of their six-part test that they had been using, and now going with the primary beneficiary test. The primary beneficiary test that was adopted by a few circuit courts of appeals. The bottom line there, you're really just looking at one question. Does the business or does the intern receive the greater benefits from the particular internship? Can't really tell whether you're going to have more or less litigation on this issue, but suffice it to say, with a simpler, really one question standard, it's more likely that you are going to be finding individuals looking like, sounding like, and being held to be interns more often than the other way around. And what about the IRS? As long as we're talking about agencies, we've got tax reform, and we're going to have to start having interpretations by the IRS of various business-related issues and various provisions in the tax reform that's certainly going to impact your company and impact the employer-employee relationship. Number two resolution for 2018. Your company needs to understand that the hashtag MeToo and the sexual harassment news was not just a 2017 thing. For God's sakes, Time Magazine's Person of the Year for 2017 were the, quote, silence breakers, end quote. We still keep waking up every morning to a new high-level person being accused or stepping down because of some sexual harassment allegations, and it's affecting all industries. If you haven't done training in a while, now is the time to do it. The end of the year, the beginning of the year, a great time to start thinking about your training, and if you are going to do it, make sure you do it appropriately in terms of both the content of your training and the audience at your company. You can't just rely on the same PowerPoint slides or the same message that has your training that your training has been 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You really need to update it to talk about the realities of the world, the sexual harassment news, the fact that we're not just talking about sexual harassment, but harassment based on other protected classes, such as the uptick in national origin harassment, religious harassment, disability-based harassment, age harassment as our workforces are getting older. You need to update your trainings to recognize the realities of 2018, the impact that technology and social media has, the increase in retaliation complaints, the increase in political speech and political activism by your employees. These are the kinds of issues that maybe weren't as prevalent 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and maybe weren't the focus of your trainings back then, but they need to be now. You also need to watch for the issue of confidentiality to gain a little bit traction, and specifically the issue of confidentiality provisions in sexual harassment settlements. There was a bipartisan bill recently introduced by Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democrat, and Lindsey Graham, a Republican, that seeks to prevent companies from contractually requiring employees to settle sex harassment claims behind closed doors. And did you know this? Of all of the tax reform and all of the tax-related provisions in the tax reform, the new tax law contains a provision that has already become effective as of December 22, 2017, which says that settlements of sexual harassment claims, which are subject to a confidentiality provision, are no longer a tax-deductible expense to employers. Did you know that? And as far as industry leaders go, Microsoft has already announced that it is eliminating its requirement that employees pursue sex harassment claims and gender bias claims through arbitration. Again, the goal is to avoid what's being referred to as silencing these voices. As I said, it's been affecting all industries, the restaurant and hospitality industry, tech. It's hitting everybody. So the question is, the challenge is, can you tailor your training, can you tailor your policies and practices for the unique aspects of your business and your industry? It's not enough to say that your executives understand the problems and challenges with harassment. It's not enough to say that your HR folks understand it, because at the end of the day, the people who are in the trenches with the rank-and-file employees, the people who are managing them, the people who are supervising them, those are the ones who need to be trained on the 2018 do's and don'ts when it comes to this hashtag MeToo and sexual harassment issue. Number three, resolve to exercise a lot more and reduce bad carb... wrong list. I don't know how that got in here with the podcast stuff and why it's only number three. Here we go. Sorry. So number three, the number three resolution for 2018 for your company, resolve to get very familiar with equal pay and paid leave initiatives, many of which are starting right now in January 2018. You know, there are many jurisdictions that are focused very heavily on equal pay issues. Again, I'm beating a dead horse here when I say it's not just the federal aspect that you've got to be watching. It's the state and local initiatives, too. And a lot of jurisdictions have new laws and proposed bills that are centered on two primary points when it comes to this equal pay issue. One, the attempt to expand the scope and coverage of equal pay laws. So, for example, instead of saying that men and women must be the same, paid the same for doing the same work, the laws have been expanded to say that men and women need to be paid the same for doing substantially similar work. So expanding the scope and coverage, reducing the types of exemptions in these equal pay laws. Also, the initiatives have included increasing wage transparency and the requirement for public disclosure of what companies are paying based on gender. Also, many states and local municipalities, too, have enacted paid family leave laws following recent federal action where the feds are trying to offer, for example, tax reform incentives for companies to offer workers paid leave. States like New York have really started to enact significant and groundbreaking paid family leave laws just this month in January 2018. So make sure as you go through your resolutions for 2018 that you understand what new laws exist as we start a new year in the particular jurisdiction in which you're doing business. Other issues on this front to keep an eye on as we dive into the new year when it comes to paid leave and leave programs generally. What EEO issues might you have with your leave programs? For example, those companies that are trying to expand the leave entitlement when you're having a new child or when you're adopting a new child. Are you unintentionally introducing equal employment issues into your policies and practices? You may be allowed to provide extra leave for females, by way of example, when it comes to disability-related issues and medical conditions having to do with pregnancy. But to the extent that your leave is just dealing with the bonding rights, well, you may have a problem if you provide for greater benefits to females than males when it comes to bonding leave provisions. Just by way of example, one big lawsuit that was just recently filed in Pennsylvania against Estee Lauder by the EEOC deals with that very issue, maternity versus paternity, when your policy is a bonding-only policy. Are you getting into trouble when it comes to the administration of your leave programs and the wording of your handbooks? Another recent lawsuit that will be following, Rengan versus FX Direct. That's a new lawsuit in the Southern District of New York, and here the issue involves inconsistent handbook sections on whether different leaves must be taken concurrently or consecutively, and it makes a big difference. How does your company navigate the overlapping leave laws, whether it's the FMLA, the ADA, workers' compensation, paid family leave, paid sick leave? And what do you do, and how have you been doing it when you have FMLA and ADA accommodation requests from your employees? Are you doing the right things? Are you talking to the managers in the trenches to tell them what they must do and can't do and must say and can't say? What are you doing to combat the growing problem of FMLA abuse? We will have a special guest in an upcoming episode to talk about the interplay between the various leave requirements, but resolve in 2018 to get your hands around how you're doing it, what you're doing, and what needs to be done in the particular jurisdiction in which you're doing business. New Year's resolution number 4. Recognize that much attention will continue to be placed on your hiring practices. You know, the EEOC's Strategic Enforcement Plan for fiscal years 2017 through 2021 continued to include, quote, eliminating systemic barriers in recruitment and hiring, end quote, as a priority in its new strategic plan. We continue to closely watch a significant case that was filed back in 2013, the EEO's lawsuit against Dollar General, which involves criminal background checks and an alleged disparate impact on African-American applicants. We've been reading a lot about salary history bans that have gone into effect in January 1st in California and other spots, and places like in New York City just recently enacted them. Keep your eyes and ears open for other hiring-related statutes and laws that are being enacted. Another interesting case worth watching here, and we'll talk about this in future episodes as well, as it adds the modern element of social media, online ads targeting a protected class such as age. Here in December 20th, a complaint was filed in federal court in San Francisco on behalf of a class of applicants against multiple companies, including Facebook, Amazon, and T-Mobile. They claim, and it's an interesting issue, they claim that there was unlawful targeted marketing on Facebook where ads for jobs were only popping up to those members of Facebook between the age of 20 and 50. And thus, the plaintiffs, those that fell outside of that class or of that range, didn't receive these ads because of their age. A very interesting issue, and we will keep our eyes and ears open when it comes to hiring practice laws and some of these new lawsuits that have been filed challenging various hiring practices. Number five, resolve in 2018 to keep your eyes and ears open as well on continuing developments in the transgender and sexual orientation front. This is still very much a very unsettled area of federal law, depending on what jurisdiction you're in, but many states and local municipalities have taken a very clear position on this issue with respect to their state and local anti-discrimination and accommodation laws, being very clear what transgender rights there are, being very clear that sexual orientation is a protected class under the particular state law or the particular local law. And lawsuits will continue to crop up, I predict, sometimes because of discriminatory policies or practices, and sometimes, again, I keep going back to this, because managers are not trained on the do's and don'ts. So even if they're not intentionally looking to discriminate against somebody, they're the ones who are interacting with the rank and file employees, and they're the ones saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing. So in 2018, you need to ask yourselves, do your policies, do your trainings address the issues of transgender and sexual orientation for your managers in the trenches? We're also waiting in 2018 for a landmark decision from the Supreme Court that deals with the intersection of a baker's religious freedom and the public's right to non-discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. In this case, if you haven't been following it, you have two partners who sued a baker in Colorado for refusing to make a custom cake for their wedding reception because they were not heterosexual. The decision from the Supreme Court, while not in the employment area per se, it may have a lot to say ultimately in the employment context in terms of which right trumps which, religious beliefs or the rights to not be discriminated against because of sexual orientation. Number six resolution, and this is an oldie but goodie, what the hell's going on with the overtime exemption rules? You will remember the lawsuit that's still kicking around down in federal court in Texas. Once that injunction was issued to stop the Obama Department of Labor from instituting its rule that was published back in November 2016, the only thing really left on appeal is whether the Department of Labor, as it's now argued by the Trump Department of Labor, has the authority in the first place to address a salary threshold in its exemption regulations. Even the Trump Department of Labor is now arguing that we haven't made a decision yet what the salary threshold should be, but we as a Department of Labor at least have a right to regulate that salary threshold as part of what the exemption regulation will be. Moving forward, you'll also remember the Department of Labor published an RFI this past July 2017. The comment period on that closed on September 25th, 2017, and there's still been no word on when a proposed rule will be published, if ever. I do predict that there will be one published, though I can't tell you when it's going to be. I would suspect that something will be done on this front in 2018, and we'll certainly keep you updated on that. If a new one is published, I think what we're hearing is that the salary threshold will be somewhere in the mid-30,000s, somewhat of a compromise from what it is now and what the Obama DOL proposed a couple of years ago. The million-dollar question really is, when and if a proposed new rule comes, will there be a change in the duties tests? Will there be some difference between where in the country the employees are working? Bottom line, will the proposed rule say anything other than what the new salary basis test is? In any event, while you're still waiting to hear about this, resolve in 2018 to take this good opportunity to do your internal audits of your exemption classifications. It's a great time to do it, and obviously if you are going to do it, make sure you do it the right way. Number 7, and in the same category of can we finally get to the end of this issue? Resolve to make a decision once the Supreme Court finally answers the class action waiver question this year, and they will answer it this year. There was oral argument on whether class action waivers in an arbitration agreement is valid. The oral argument was held before the Supreme Court back on October 2, 2017, and there will be a decision this year before the summer even. Most of us are expecting the Supreme Court to rule in favor of class action waivers, so that will at least answer the question of enforceability from a legal perspective. It doesn't, however, answer the question of what your company should do for your business interests when it comes to arbitration. I go back and forth on this all the time, and there are many who believe that this class action waiver issue is a be careful what you wish for issue. What do I mean by that? Let's say the Supreme Court says class action waivers are enforceable once and for all, so that you can have an arbitration provision which says that all of your employees must not only arbitrate any employment disputes, but they must do so on an individual basis and cannot do it collectively as a class action or as a collective action with other employees. What's the ramification of that? Well, if the employee or the group of employees are represented by one of those plaintiff's law firms that have significant resources that are national in nature and don't have a problem with bringing multiple lawsuits or multiple arbitrations, then what you may end up with is 50, 75, 100, maybe even more arbitrations with different arbitrators simply because you just threw in a class action waiver and said, you know what, I don't want to have everybody litigate the same issue all at once in the same arbitration before the same arbitrator. Is that something that you and your business can live with? Not a yes or no. It's going to be unique to your particular company, but it's something at a minimum that you need to think about. And what about the bigger question, arbitration or not? Is arbitration right for your particular business? You know, it's a very interesting issue for me because it used to be that arbitration gave you a couple of well-defined benefits that you didn't get by litigating in court. So, for example, and this is what everybody talked about when it came to arbitration, you know, arbitration was cheaper. Arbitration was more private. Arbitration was quicker. Is that really true anymore? The arbitrations that we seem to be going through now in the employment arena tend to look very much like litigation in court. The employment and commercial rules provide for really the same kind of discovery, provide for the same kind of motions. And so what you end up having is the same kind of court process, but now you are in arbitration where you have an arbitrator who is being paid significant amounts of money. You have an arbitrator where you don't necessarily have published precedents. You have very little, if any, right to appeal. So one way of looking at the situation, perhaps, is that you no longer have the positives that you once had with arbitration, but you still have the negatives that come with arbitration. And that's not to suggest that arbitration is not a good thing ultimately. What I am saying, like I say so often in these podcast episodes, is there is no one-size-fits-all and should not be one-size-fits-all when it comes to making the decisions in the employer-employee relationship for your company. Give some thought to it. Don't just say, well, these other folks, these other companies have arbitration provisions. These other companies have class action waivers. Just give it some thought. Think about the type of business you have, the types of claims you tend to have, the type of workforce you have, and think about what makes sense for you. Number 8. Resolve in 2018 to finally swallow your pride and ask somebody what the term gig economy means. Because the gig economy and flexible scheduling will continue to be a big thing in 2018, I predict. The gig economy is really just the lack of a fixed, permanent employment structure, and it's one where employees are being hired, well, really for a particular gig. So you need to understand as a company that we're not really in a traditional 5 day a week, 9 to 5 work week within the four walls of your company kind of workplace anymore. There are going to be issues that are new to the last couple of years and will continue to be new, and you need to give some thought to this, and you need to keep your eyes and ears open because there will be developments on this issue as we move into 2018. The employee versus independent contractor issue. The extent to which benefits requirements and the Affordable Care Act benefits provisions are impacting what you can and can't do with your temp employees and other folks in your workplace. Predictive scheduling, those issues are coming up all over the place around the country. How much notice you have to give to your employees of what their schedules are going to be. What happens if you change their schedule the last minute? Predictive scheduling, it's going to continue to be a big issue. So resolve in 2018 to, again, wrap your hands around this as well. Number 9, as we are rolling ourselves into the high point of a new year, it's time to think about marijuana. See what I did there? Many states now say it's okay for some medical and or recreational use of marijuana. Some states maintain that employers can still maintain drug testing and disciplinary rights when it comes to employees using marijuana in certain situations. Yet there's an interesting roadblock that's been put back in the road as we start 2018. During President Obama's term, there was sort of a head-in-the-sand approach from the federal end, where the federal government wasn't actively prosecuting businesses and individual users of marijuana, even though, do not forget, marijuana is still an illegal substance under federal law. It's a real key thing to remember because people are hearing about all of these states and what's becoming legal in all these states. Marijuana is still an illegal substance under federal law. But now, what just happened over the past week or so? Attorney General Jeff Sessions just rescinded some prior Obama administration memos on this non-interference, sort of head-in-the-sand stance, and has now suggested that federal prosecutors around the country will have greater discretion in deciding whether to crack down on marijuana possession, distribution, and cultivation, even in those states where it's now legal under state or local law. So what are you supposed to do here? Well, before you pack a bag and buy that home in Colorado so quickly, keep watching for this to develop in 2018. I believe there will be further guidance, further developments on the federal versus state marijuana issue. I think that there are going to be more cases cropping up on ADA obligations when it comes to the medical need for marijuana. Give some thought, have your company give some thought to what you should be doing right now in terms of your drug testing policies, particularly if you're operating in a state that has made it legal to use marijuana for a number of reasons, at least under state or local law. And finally, New Year's resolution number 10, get a handle on tech issues and cybersecurity, because those are also not going away in 2018. This cybersecurity vulnerability is a real thing. It continues to be and will continue to be a real thing. I don't care how big or small your company is. You shouldn't just dismiss this by saying, well, it's the IBMs and the Microsofts and the Googles of the world that need to have plans in place, the Targets or the other, name your big retailer. It's just something that affects them. It's affecting companies big and small. The statistics bear that out. So do you, whatever size your company is, do you have a plan in place right now to assess risk and to assess vulnerability in your company? And do you have an incident response plan so that you're not scrambling to figure out what to do in the event there's some data breach that occurs? All industries need to think about it. That's my recommendation. And there are some industries, like the financial services industry, for example, where it's even more important because it's required. What's going to happen with wearables? Technology is getting crazy. It's not just the smartphones anymore. People are having wearable technology. What can you regulate? What can't you regulate? What can be monitored? What can't be monitored? social media and more instantaneous communication is still going to happen with your employees. So if you thought it was a difficult issue back years ago when it was just a matter of monitoring or not monitoring emails over your company's computer system, well, what do you do now when it comes to this more instantaneous communication that employees are engaging in? What do you do about your litigation hold memos, your litigation hold letters, when it's not so simple as just your server or your company's computer system? And what about this notion of artificial intelligence? Don't look at that as just something to, again, bury your head in the sand about and say, well, I don't have to worry about it because I'm not replacing my employees with robots. How can artificial intelligence, how could big data, how could these concepts and technology in general actually help you from an employment law standpoint, from a human resources standpoint? We had a special guest on earlier last year to talk about artificial intelligence. We're going to keep talking about that this year, but it's something that you should continue to think about and look for the positive impact on your employer-employee relationship in the artificial intelligence world. Don't just bury your head in the sand thinking that it's not something that affects you or not something that you need to be thinking about. So that's my top 10 New Year's resolutions for your company in 2018. And here's a bonus resolution. No, it's not about getting rid of that extra cookie that you're eating in your car as you listen to this podcast episode. And it's not so much a specific issue as much as it is a resolution to make sure you continue to think about employment law obligations, not just on the federal level, but on the state and local levels. One of the most difficult things out there right now, and I speak to clients and I speak to companies all the time about this, it's hard enough when you are a company doing business in one state, but for those of you out there who are doing business in multiple states, who have employees in multiple states and may not even be working in your company's offices in multiple states, maybe they're working in their home office, how do you keep track of all of these different state and local laws on all of these employment law issues? Well, option one is to close the doors, shut down, and get out of business altogether. Option two, probably a little bit more practical and realistic, be proactive and listen to podcasts, well, like mine. That's where things are happening. That's where things are changing on the state and local levels. So if you can promise to continue to listen to my podcast for another year, I will continue to promise to do my very best to bring folks on who can share their experiences, talk about what's keeping them up at night, and give you valuable and hopefully useful information that you can bring back to your companies. So, again, a happy and healthy new year. I hope you all had a great holiday, a great start to 2018, and until the next time, I hope all of your labor is productive.